Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Blue Apron. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping. So go to blueapron.com/ghost. Who wants a bunk bed, Bill? There's never been a better time to sign up for a yearly EPP, Extra Podcast Person membership to Real Ghost Stories Online. Right now, when you become a yearly EPP, you'll get 1 month free membership to our EPP programs. You'll also be able to claim your very own bunk bed bell.
Plus, you'll be doing your part to help keep our show on the air.
It's amazing. It's all amazing. We feel so much better.
A show that helps thousands of people worldwide.
Thanks again for providing this outlet and making it so non-threatening.
Feel not so alone with their haunting experiences.
You guys are amazing. We listen to you all the time.
Become a yearly EPP now. Get a free month of our EPP membership and get your very own bunk bed bell.
Hurry though, supplies are limited.
If you're currently a monthly EPP, then upgrade your membership now to a yearly membership and get your bunk bed bell and a free month of EPP membership to Real Ghost Stories Online.
I think it's important for people to be able to have a place where they can share their experiences and validate them because these things are real.
Sign up now to be a yearly EPP at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. Phone number 855-853-4802. You can write in through our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. You can even email your audio file if you'd like to do that. Record it and send me the MP3, M4A, or whatever the file is to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
Hi, and how are you this fine day?
Feeling guilty.
Feeling guilty.
Yeah.
Jenny, tell us why you're feeling guilty.
Okay, so Livy's not a huge chocolate fan.
Okay.
So, you know, at Valentine's, I gave her a chocolate heart, a full-size grown-up mm-hmm. one.
She's not a candy person in general.
No.
You know, you think of kids and candy, she's the opposite. This is a girl who, when she was like 2.5, would order side salads instead of like chicken fingers or something. She's a very healthy eater.
She is.
And doesn't, I mean, she enjoys candy every now and then, but she's not like begging for candy.
So anyway, so it's been in the top of the pantry for what, going on 5 months now?
Yeah, the chocolate heart.
And I know that she probably wasn't going to get it. And so I've been helping myself every so often. So about half of it's gone. And I figure that's pretty good over 5 months that I've only had half.
Sure.
Until today when she asks if we can get that down because she wants to keep it in her room, which is fine because I let her do that so her sister doesn't steal it.
Yeah.
And she opened it up and she just spontaneously started crying. Who ate my chocolate? And then I had to tell her I did.
You know, I was down here,
uh-huh.
and I had headphones on. I was listening to an interview. And all of a sudden, I just heard this, like, burst of emotion.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a scream, but it was, like, a loud... It was like when the girls get mad at each other. But I knew one was in this other room, so I knew they weren't together. I'm like, what? I took my headphones off. I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah. So that's what that was. And so she took the rest to her room and she was crying. And then she looked at me, why? It's just terrible. It's like,
you're a horrible mother.
I didn't think you wanted that.
Well,
so I will make it up to her, but I honestly didn't think she was ever going to eat it because there's about three of those hearts in the top of the pantry.
Yeah. I was going to say, in your defense, there has been, I don't know, if any exist, but they probably do. But there's been years where we've gone through the pantry mm-hmm. and in very accessible areas to her, where it's like, let's do a cabinet clean out day. And there's like years of candy yeah. from holidays that never gets consumed. So that's because she doesn't seem to like it very much. So I get where you're coming from.
Well, there's a deformed... melted chocolate Easter bunny up in the top of the pantry too
that nobody's claiming.
Like, I mean, he looks kind of like Sloth from Goonies now. His eyes are at different levels and he's all messed up, but nobody's asking for that. But sure shit, I had a couple of chocolates last night. That's why I'm suspicious. I had a couple last night, and then now I want my heart down. Can I see it?
Was she spying?
I don't know. That was like 11 o'clock at night. She shouldn't have been up.
I wonder. And the mystery gets deeper.
But I did not tell her that you helped me eat some of those.
I never had any
you
of those.
I did not.
You handed me the heart and said, here, would you like one? And I said, I would never take candy from our children.
Oh, fuck you.
I had a milk chocolate melt away, I think, one out of that.
You've had more than that.
Trying to think. I had a couple. Yeah. I guess we should just always have like a backup candy. It's like, oh, that's not yours. This one's yours. Just like a fresh.
Do you think a backup candy would last around here if I'm eating my children's Valentine candy?
Hashtag Chit Jenny says, do you think a backup candy would last around here if I'm eating my children's Valentine's candy? That's great.
Anyway.
All right. Well, there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a ghost story. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. My name is Erica, and I just started listening to your show a few weeks ago, I guess, right around Halloween time. I don't know why I had never tried to look for a ghost story podcast before, but all of a sudden I had the idea, and I found you, and I was really excited. Just like a lot of your other callers, I have had a lot of experiences starting from when I was a child and have only just recently started to tell people about them because it's hard to see that look on people's faces if they're not also believers in ghosts, that you must be a crazy person. So I've had a lot of experiences, but I'll just start with a short one for today. I was living in Portland, Oregon a few years ago, and my then husband and I moved into an apartment that was actually in an old house that was in the northwest part of the city. I wasn't sure at the time when the house was built, but it was clear that it was about 100 years old. And for the most part, our apartment felt pretty okay. The basement of the house was terrifying. That's where the laundry was, and I would a lot of times make my husband go downstairs with me when I did laundry because I was too afraid to be there by myself. But nothing really happened in our apartment until one day when, anyway, I was sitting on the floor watching a TV show on my computer for whatever reason, and I had my headphones on, so I was kind of like totally zoned in. My husband was on the couch and to my left, and all of a sudden I felt footsteps walking on the old hardwood floor behind me, and it was so real that I actually thought that my husband had gotten up from the couch and was walking behind me to go into the kitchen. And kind of simultaneously, when I realized that he was still on the couch, I noticed that my cat was sitting right next to me to my left, but facing the opposite direction. And he was looking up into the air very concentratedly at something. And so obviously at this point, I'm, you know, thinking, what is happening right now? So I look up and behind me, and there's nothing there. The cat continues to stare into thin air about 6 feet above me. And all of a sudden, I get this image in my head of a man, a tall man, standing in a trench coat, kind of like a 1940s, like Dick Tracy look, like one of those tan trench coats that belts at the waist, and, you know, an old-fashioned hat. He's just standing there. And it's just this, like, flash of image. It's like I see it in my mind's eye, not with my eyes. And I actually wasn't scared other than the fact that it was unexpected and kind of like, what the hell? But I didn't I didn't get any feeling of like menace or aggression from him, and then it was gone. And I told my husband about it, and he believes in ghosts because he had had experiences as well. But, you know, we didn't really know what to think. But I made a mental note that next time I saw the landlord, I was going to ask him some information about the history of the house. So, lo and behold, a few weeks later, we start having an electrical problem in our apartment, and the landlord comes up, and I said, "Hey, Yuri, you know, just out of curiosity, do you know anything about the history of this house?" And he said, "Well, yeah, actually I do. It was built in 1903 as a private home. Throughout the years, especially starting in the Depression, it was divided up into smaller and smaller pieces. But during the 1940s, it was a duplex, and in one half of the house, there was a World War II officer and his wife and child." And as soon as he said that, I knew that the man that I had seen was the World War II officer. The timing sounded right, and it's something clicked in my gut. And it was just really interesting because I'd had experiences before, but I'd never been able to research or find out any information about the people that I might have been seeing. I had a couple of other experiences in that same apartment, one of which I was getting poked in the forehead for a few minutes while I was trying to watch TV a different time, and to the point where I actually made my husband pause whatever we were watching and told him what was happening. Then it stopped, we started again, the poking started again, and finally I paused it and I said, "All right, this is really annoying. I get that you're here, but please stop touching me." And it stopped, and it never happened again. Anyway, that's just one apartment that I've had some strange experiences in. Thank you very much for creating this place for people to talk about stuff like this, and I hope to hear my story on your show. Have a great day. Bye.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Blue Apron, we had some burgers the other night.
We did.
They have what I love about Blue Apron is they change their menu up. They don't repeat the same stuff in the same calendar year, and it's seasonal as well. I mean, you can pick what you want. There's some stuff that's a lot of stuff that's very summery right now. We had burgers with like Fontina cheese and like garlic aioli on it. It was great.
It was
pretzel bun and all that. There's a reason they are the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. They really are, and they have so many good things to choose from coming up on their menu here into August. Black pepper beef and bok choy with the garlic rice. Here, you'll like this. It's a quiche.
Okay.
yellow charm tomato and leek quiche with sautéed corn and summer squash, so they have vegetarian options. Whole grain pasta and summer vegetables with heirloom tomato, caprese salad. Meatball pizza with fresh mozzarella cheese and charmed tomatoes. Just good stuff. Sautéed shrimp and green beans with globe tomato spinach and orzo pasta. You're not going to go wrong. You can choose from your two-person plans, your family plans, and you can skip weeks, too. If you're going to be on vacation or something, press skip this one. For some reason, there's something you don't like, you can skip a week, too. I've never really run into that situation, but it's there in case you ever do run to it. Blue Apron can be delivered to 99% of the continental U.S. Pretty much, you're probably going to be able to get it. Check it out for yourself. And, in fact, on us, get your first three meals free with free shipping. Go to blueapron.com/ghost, blueapron.com/ghost. You will love Blue Apron, how affordable it is, the variety, and how delicious it is. Got to check it out. How good it feels, how good it tastes. Create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. Don't wait. blueapron.com/ghost, Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Let's go to another caller here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, my name is Ashley, and I sent an email into your show, but I'm not sure if it was the right one. So I'll just kind of jump right into it, and if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me. So I'm kind of just going to use my email as a guide through the story because there's a lot that took place during this time in my life, and I don't want to leave anything out. So if I start to ramble, I apologize. So in my email, I included a screenshot of the house that all of this took place at, in case you kind of want to get a picture for where this all took place. You can just look at my email. So I'm originally from West Palm Beach, Florida, and this all kind of took place in a very, very small two-bedroom house. My grandparents actually owned the house, and there was a huge lot that it was on, which in the area that this house was in was kind of rare. At the time, they were renting it out to some tenants, and they turned out to be drug addicts, basically, and were destroying the house and not paying rent. So they were evicted around the same time that my family actually needed a place to live. So we kind of made an agreement with them that they would forego a rent payment for a while if we agreed to remodel the house ourselves. When we got there, it was just dilapidated. The house had so much potential, and it had just been basically left in shambles. It was infested with roaches. The floor, the walls, the ceiling, everything had been kind of torn up, and there was a weird smell in the air, almost of chemicals. Anyway, it took us a few months to remodel this house. I helped my stepdad and my mother. And the day that we arrived and kind of surveyed the damage, since there was only two bedrooms, one being very small and one being much bigger, my parents obviously got the bigger room and I got the smaller room in the front of the house, and I actually had to share it with my little sister. So the first red flag, I guess, was the fact that the door that was to become my room, the door to it, was locked from the inside. And we had to, well, my stepdad basically had to take an axe to the door to get in. Wasn't that big of a deal since we were going to replace it anyway. And the floor had been ripped up down beyond the carpet padding, and there was kind of a thick smell of something unidentifiable rotting. That's the only way I can describe it. The ceiling had been carved into with what appeared to be maybe a nail or fingernails, and there were short sentences scattered like all over the ceiling, such as "Hello, I am here," or "It is warm." Those are the two that stick out to me the most, and I mean, they took up the entirety of the ceiling. It was crazy. The closet door also stuck out to me because it had been ripped off of the hinges, and there was kind of like a small sheet hanging over the opening, and on the sheet was a thick brown and sticky stain that covered the whole thing. Nothing was in the closet, but it just felt kind of weird in there. And just for a little background, since it's South Florida and it's an old house, a lot of the houses are completely or partially above the ground. To my knowledge, there's not really any benefit to this. Sometimes it helps maintain the integrity of the house, since the town that I lived in was below sea level. It also made it easier to repair the house without having to completely tear it down to the foundation. So that being said, when you're walking on the floor of a house that has been raised, your footsteps are a lot louder in a normal house. So anyway, after we fixed up the house, we moved in a few months later, and I went to a school right around the corner, and we just kind of began to settle in. This was my mom's first home. She had just gotten married to my stepdad, and we were just, you know, making it our own. There was a weird empty space next to my room that my mom, the wall was in the office. And we also collectively fenced the yard so we could get a dog. About 8 months into living at this house, strange things began to happen to me. I would come home from school and things would be missing in my room. I've always been really particular about where I keep things, especially with my little sister. I always kept things out of her reach, and things like necklaces, books, even a pair of rollerblades went missing in my room. And I felt like I was going crazy, but I kind of just wrote it off thinking that maybe my sister was somehow managing to mess with me, and I was just kind of like adjusting into settling into the new home. I was also getting really intense and terrifying nightmares. I started to begin to suffer what I now know is called exploding head syndrome, which is basically when you start to fall asleep and you can hear either loud noises or people screaming in your ear, and that will result in you jolting yourself awake and not being able to ever really fall asleep. So all in all, I'm not doing so well. So back to my stepdad. He was a really great guy, very good to us, very kind of old school, honest kind of guy. He was a chronic skeptic, you know, didn't believe in God, doesn't believe in ghosts, doesn't believe in aliens, nothing. One day, however, when I got home from school, he was standing in the kitchen almost as if he had been completely thrown off by something. Once I walked up to him in the kitchen, he looked horrified. I asked him what was the matter, and he asked me if I had just gotten home, which I replied, yeah, why? At that point, he just shook his head and waved me away, but I could tell something was off. A few days later, he approached me when I was walking my dog, and very nervously, he admitted that he was hearing things in the house and seeing things. At night, he would hear someone running through the house, and at first, he thought it might have been me, but one night, he inspected the noises and found that my sister and I were fast asleep. The noises and footsteps soon turned into laughter and talking. The laughter would be that of a small child. And he said that he would only hear it coming from our end of the house, and if he, you know, left his room to inspect it further, the laughing would get louder despite seeing both my sister and I in our beds asleep. The day that I had arrived home from school and startled him in the kitchen, he had seemed kind of off because he could hear my voice talking in the other room, apparently, before I had even arrived home. So, of course, this disturbed me. It was absolutely out of his character to admit something like this to me, and it stuck with me just the rest of the day. I have always been a heavy sleeper despite having the nightmares, and it surprised me that none of this wasn't waking me up until that night. I was laying in bed trying to fall asleep, and my TV turned off. I thought I had maybe rolled onto the remote, but after searching through my sheets, I saw it sitting on top of the TV. I freaked out, of course, and jumped up and turned it off, and it turned back on. This went back and forth for about half an hour until eventually I felt like I was going insane, battling some kind of unseen force, and just unplugged the TV, and it stopped. A few hours later, in the early morning, I suddenly jolted awake. I was drenched in sweat, and my ears were ringing very loudly. I was very frightened for some reason, thinking maybe did I just have a nightmare that I couldn't remember? I laid back down, and I tried to shake the feeling that something was wrong. I mean, I was terrified, but I couldn't figure out why. Then suddenly, I heard something scratching at my door, the entirety of my door, from top to bottom, without stopping or lifting up, and it sounded like long fingernails or long claws. I tried to close my eyes thinking, oh my God, like this cannot be happening, and I tried to push it out of my surroundings, if that makes sense, wishing and hoping that it just wasn't really happening. And the scratching stopped and turned into knocks, faster and faster, until it woke up my mother and my stepdad.
I screamed with my hands over my ears, and it stopped. This went on almost every night for over a year. I barely slept, and it seemed like the more exhausted I got, the stronger the experience would be. The knocks would go louder, the scratching would be increasingly aggressive, and eventually I took my door off the hinges so I could sleep. And this turned out to be a horrible mistake. The first night I didn't have a door was probably like the climax of my experience, for me personally. And around midnight, I felt something enter my room. I can't really explain it, but it was like the air felt heavier. Something really ominous was around us. And even talking about it right now, I have goosebumps because I'll never, ever, ever forget that feeling. I was terrified, and it seemed like this took up my entire room again and was suffocating me. I sat up, and again, my ears started to ring. Then suddenly it stopped, and all of a sudden my remote flew off of my bed. It was right next to me, and a very intense heaviness sat on the end of my bed. I felt it on the end of my bed. I crawled away from it, and almost at the same time, my little sister woke up and started to scream, was becoming agitated. The heaviness then kind of lifted off of my bed, and the room went from intensely cold to insanely hot within seconds. We ran out of the room and into the living room, and there was stuff scattered all over the floor, remote, keychains and school books, all things of mine that had periodically wound up missing over the past couple of months. I was so panicked that all I could think to do was to run outside. This actually went on a few more times, believe it or not, and then we eventually moved out and into an apartment. Even when we were packing, we would leave the room and come back to find our boxes reopened, and a lot of personal items of mine went missing, and I was never able to relocate them. I don't know what was in that house, but it was angry. And even telling the story, I can feel that anger resonating. I should tell all of you that my sister is mentally disabled. She doesn't really know how to lie. She would later tell me that the little girl in the house would always try and talk to her when she was in the bathroom. And she always said a man in a hat was standing by me and that he was angry. I'll leave my story at this point. And if you have any questions, you can call me or email me. But this is something that I've wanted to share for a long time. It's something that lives with me to this day. And I can't think of a better place to share this. I appreciate the both of you, and I hope you share my story. Thank you.
There you go.
That's just terrible, and it sounds like she was so targeted.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, even though other people had things that they noticed, she was definitely the target of the anger, and I don't know why that would be. Maybe she's like some of our other callers, maybe she is stronger with her sensitivity, and that's why she's targeted.
I don't know. I always wonder about the objects, and we've had different theories about that on the show over the years of, you know, when something goes missing or mm-hmm. is moved. Where does it go? Especially when it's the situations where things are just gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, and she said that she walked in and all of her things or a lot of her things that had gone missing were just there.
Yeah.
Do they disappear? Do they go somewhere where you just, it knows that you can't get to them in the walls, or how does that?
I don't know.
Like, I want the security camera footage of that.
Yeah.
Where the objects just show back up, or how do they get there? You know, that to me has always been a real curious thing.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to hauntings and when things like that happen. Thank you. I mean, it's the weird moment where you go, that's a great story. But obviously it sounds like
so
a very troubling, horrifying, yeah, you know, situation. But thank you for taking the time to share it with us here on the show. We do greatly appreciate that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another caller. Hi, let's hear your real ghost story.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name's Amber. I'm from California. I'm a listener for the last, 6 to 7 months. I stumbled upon your show, just happening to look for a paranormal show, and I found it. And it's been a couple months, and I decided that I wanted to tell my story to you guys, or one of my stories, I should say, because I'm on a road trip. And I just went to the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, Colorado, yesterday, and had a really weird experience in the whiskey room, which I'll talk about in a second. But for context, as long as I can remember, I've always been super sensitive. I have, heard things that nobody else has heard, seen things that nobody else has seen, or had what I would call, visitors, shadow people, and even, spirits from my family, come in my dreams or me visibly see them in front of me at my father's house. And it's just super strange knowing that, I've seen some of these things and some of them feel good and then some of them don't feel as charming, I should say. Some of them feel a little more malicious. But one of the stories that I wanted to tell you is something where I had a malicious spirit, not really sure if it was a human spirit or not, but it was something that attached itself to me when I had a near-death experience. So when I was in college, my sophomore year, I went to this university in Eugene, Oregon, and I used to do tours, and I was very, present on campus. So one day, I went to a party with my friends, to our friend's, house, and they were in a fraternity, but it was unrelated to the fact that they were in the fraternity. It was just a regular old house party. Went there, this person I didn't recognize was talking to myself and my friend and asked if we would like drinks. So we thought, sure. We didn't think anything weird of it. We watched him make the drinks, but I guess we were watching carefully enough because later that night I was roofied from that drink. So my friend was trying to get me back to my dorm room, and this is something that I don't remember because after that drink, I lost all my memories in the evening. But there's a cemetery on campus called the Pioneer Cemetery, which is located behind the library. So if you look up the University of Oregon, you'll see that the cemetery is there, and it was there long before the university itself was established. So they kind of just kept it there. And to get back to our dorm, the fastest way possible without the campus police seeing us and, trying to give us a ticket for being under the influence, underage. We went the back way past the cemetery. And right before we passed the cemetery, I said to my friend in, a drunken stupor, hey, I really want to sit down. Let me relax. I'm so tired from walking. And so she's like, okay. So we sat down, and I kind of just fell to my knees. And then fell over, and I had a seizure, and I was foaming at the mouth. And I don't remember any of this, but my friend and a couple other, people who just so happened to be in the area came to, save me, and, I'm alive now, thankfully. But that was right in front of the cemetery. And I didn't think anything of it. I just thought, wow, what a crazy thing. I feel like 1 in 5 girls gets, roofied, and luckily I had my friends and I didn't get, assaulted by this person. But later through the rest of the year, I had a lot of weird things happening. I always felt like someone was watching me. I felt like there was, at some point, but it felt like someone was talking to me, even though nobody would be around. Or if there were people around, it was almost like, I don't even know how to explain it, just whispering in the back of my mind almost. There was nobody there, but it was a sound and I heard it. So I just thought, wow, I'm going crazy. That fall and maybe I hit my head and I'm just going nuts. It came to the point where one break I decided to stay in the dorms while everybody left so I could work. And I came home one night and I started to hear my name being called out loud and clearly, so I peeked my head out into the hallway, and there was nobody there, and I walked around the entire dorm, floor, and nobody was there except for my, RA. And he comes out of his room, and he's like, is everything okay? And I started having a meltdown because I wasn't sure what I had heard. He said he can call my name. There's nobody in the hallway. There's nobody in the stairwell. And I wasn't sure what was going on. So I had a meltdown and was like, I'm crazy. Like, I'm schizophrenic or something, and I need to go see a counselor. So fast forward a couple months later, dealing with all these weird things that keep happening, that I had seen a counselor, and they didn't diagnose me with anything hallucinatory. But the counselor himself was like, you know, I believe that you are experiencing paranormal activity, but I can't sit here and tell you that you're hallucinating because you're very sane and blah, 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 right? So that summer, I took some summer courses, and again, if you look at the University of Oregon, there's this hall called Fenton Hall, which is one of the first buildings on campus. And I was in a classroom in the very back corner, and there's only one person to my right and one person to my left, and they're both female. So I'm sitting there, like, dazing in and out of this math class. I'm not very good at math, and I'm not very interested in it, but it was a general requirement to take. So I'm sitting there, and out of nowhere, my hearing goes out. And it's kind of like the movie where you hear a soldier, or when you, like, a soldier's hearing will go out, and it's like a white noise kind of situation. That's exactly what my hearing was like. It totally went out. And out of nowhere, from directly behind me, a male voice, a very dark, very oppressive voice, came through and was saying profanities to me about killing me and me dying and things along those lines. I don't want to repeat them because I'm afraid of bringing the energy back, but it was really, really terrible. It lasted for about a minute, even though it felt like a year. And then once my hearing came back, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, because I had been looking around and nobody else seemed to hear this, and everyone was going about their lives normally except me, who's having a hallucination. In my head, I'm thinking it's a hallucination. And I come out of it, and I'm just, like, gasping for breath, like, totally terrified. And the woman to the right of me looks over, and she's like, are you okay? And I looked at her, and I was like, yeah, I'm fine. Why? And she's like, you look a little pale. And so I reached for this prayer book that I have in my backpack, even though I'm not very religious. My grandma gave it to me, so I grabbed it, and I started, in my mind, saying St. Michael the Archangel's prayer to fight off what I thought was a demon that just turned off my hearing for a minute. I went to the bathroom, I splashed some water on my face, and from then on, every time I went to bed, I felt like someone was looking in my window from across the street, and I would go to sleep, and I'd have sleep paralysis of this man standing across the street staring into my window. And then, if it wasn't that, it was a different kind of nightmare where I couldn't move out of my bed no matter what I was. Similar to sleep paralysis, but after about 5 minutes of fighting, I would fall out of my bed and crawl towards my door, but I felt like something was sitting on me. So once I went home, I went to a psychic, and she told me that there was an energy there. I got a cleansing, and to this day, thankfully, it's not there anymore, but it was probably one of the most terrifying experiences I've ever had in my life. So fast forward to yesterday, when I went to the Stanley Hotel, I was sitting at the whiskey bar talking to one of the bartenders, and the moment I walked into the whiskey bar, I felt very off. Like, I felt like I was having really heavy anxiety, and I attributed it to being hungry, you know, and needing water. So I ate some food, and I drank some water, and I was still feeling high amounts of anxiety. So I left the room, and I instantly felt, like, calm. And I went back into the room, and I was definitely, like, high anxiety again. Heartbeat really fast. I felt really lightheaded, and I started to get the chills. And right when I was about to, like, call it quits and be like, you know what, I just need to go back on the road and head towards California, the person bartending was like, you know, maybe you should go on a ghost tour. You could probably get one of them to, like, mess with you or something. And I was like, maybe not. I definitely don't want to chance another spirit attaching itself to me, whether or not I have the option to allow it to do that at this point. But I just wanted to share that with you guys, and I really appreciate listening to your podcast. I've been listening to your podcast the entire, like, 3 days that I've been driving from New York to Los Angeles, and I really appreciate it all. Thank you. Talk to you all later. Bye.
I kind of wonder if when she was roofied and then she ended up having a seizure and wasn't well for a while, if that was something that thinned her veil. Because I don't know how, I mean, I know very little about seizures, so I don't know if that could be considered a near-death experience or if it's just something that changes her ability to sense things.
It's hard to know, but it's an interesting theory on it, because obviously it seems that she's more sensitive than most to a lot of things. But I could see that having been the case of maybe that essentially, you know, thinned it a bit.
Yeah.
And opened up that door even more than it had been. Thank you for the story and sharing your experiences with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Greatly appreciate that. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, help keep us on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. You sign up to do that on our website at ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month is all it is to become an EPP. Or you can sign up for a full year. Get one of those months free when you do that. And a bunk bed bell. Check it out at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.